summer solstice. Let's begin with a prayer, and especially focusing our hearts and minds on our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
I feel the wonder and the beauty. Of your glorious presence. In every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. And I kneel in adoration at thy feet. I feel the power of thy perfection. In every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul knows the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Om. Peace.
Amen.
Nice for us to take an extra moment just to consciously together come into this space and focus our time together this morning in our devotion to our Heavenly Father, the one who's given us the dream of this life, the one who gives us our purpose, and whose spirit animates the intelligence of all living things and lives within each one of us. The Father will sometimes hide from us. It's not His job so much to be the one doing the counseling or to be the one seeking us out. It's our job to be coming back to Him. And so let us make our offering this morning one of coming back to our Father to sit on His lap, to give our hearts and our lives, all of our life, all of this self, back unto Him, the source of our very life. To make this relationship real, not an idea. But to make it real in your own heart and your own mind. And to realize that the Father is the nearest of the near. Even now, He walks amongst us. He guides us. He protects us. Sometimes He lets us fall down so that we learn our lesson. And often He helps us get back up again. But to not let this idea of God the Father be an abstraction, but make it the very source of our understanding, the source of our purpose. It's all He. So with this spirit, I'd like to ask Peony for you to lead us in some chanting and for all of us to rejoice in the joy that is coming together in the spirit of our Father this morning.
This is a new chant. The words are, O my Lord, how I love you fill me up with thy joy, fill me up with thy love.
Thank you.
most ways, that chant pretty much said it all. I've been having a little bit of a difficulty picking out a reading this morning. Sometimes my mind doesn't seem to want to work very well. So I brought three options. I thought to just mention the three to all of you and we can sort it out. The first one is one called Saint Francis and the Animals. And it's the book that Ruby brought. And the option there would be just to read the first chapter. Another option is from Yogacharya David. This is Discourses from 2019. And this is would be June 22nd, The Rock of Realization. And the last one is God Our Father, Master Yogananda's talk, How to Be Blissful and Happy All the Time. Anybody's brave enough to make the request.
How to be blissful and happy all the time.
All right. He said it. Bhima requested how to be blissful and happy all the time. A talk by Paramahansa Yogananda. This was given on June 12th, 1949. So we just passed the anniversary, nine days ago. All human beings of this earth, down to all kinds of creatures, the animals and the birds, are all filled with divine love. There are those that are special reflections of God. That means if there are 100 cups filled with water, and they are all under the moon, and if the waters are stirred up and covered up, they do not reflect the moon. But if one cup is kept open and there is no agitation there in the water, the moon is fully reflected. So are the great masters, those that fully reflect God. That's why he said, all those that receive him, don't shut out his light. We are the sons of God. So Jesus felt that his only food was the word, because all his life he remembered this, and he didn't depend on meat or fruits or anything, but that his life was directly coming from God. So he said, my life, my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish my work. It means that everyone is destined to do a part of this job, whether big or small. Everybody wants to play king on the stage, but if everybody played king, there couldn't be a show. So there are kings and queens and servants, and the little man is also very important because he is needed in the show. So don't ever think you are less than anyone else. Everybody has a job, but it is because of your desires that you do not know what job God has destined for you. That's why all the trouble. So the best way is to tune in with God, or tune in with Guru, who is one with God, and you will know that you came on earth for a destined purpose. And when you know the purpose, then you will do the will of God and the work that you are destined to do to the finish. That's why I was telling, I have lots of work to do yet I am always free. I never wish to live or die, because life to me is a bulge of the ocean, and death is sleeping in the bosom of the ocean. but I am yet with the ocean always. And so there is no wish of mine but to do the will of God, because your will is full of holes and imperfections. When you tune your will with God, then you will know what is right, and know you should guide your will by divine will. Therefore, you must know that your first duty is to meditate upon God and to find and know Him. And if you find Him, then you will know your only meat on earth is to do the will of God, your only food, because no life is possible without God. Your heart cannot beat. You think that food sustains you, that air sustains you. You forget that the beating in your heart is responsible. And once He has wound the heart, it has to beat 60 years. When it stops, all your engagements are canceled. So you are not dependent on anything else. You are directly dependent on God. Therefore, you must find God. Commune with Him through Kriya Yoga and meditation, and finish your work on earth. Then you will know what He wants you to do. Then you will know the cosmic plan, the perfect cosmic plan, and you won't mar the drama of your life by your own desires. You think you are here for yourself. That's why you are in troubles. I want this. I want that. That's the source of all the troubles. When you seek money, it takes away all your happiness. If you seek happiness, money will be your slave as it has been mine. Even the least desires that I've wished, God has supplied to me. The secret of happiness. I was in San Francisco. I went on a very important errand, and I had to go by train, and others were with me, because I have to carry on the work with me wherever I go. Correspondents from India and all over the world, I have to keep it up. So I thought, why shouldn't I, as God's child, have a Cadillac for a little ride? So when I heard $50 a day, I saluted. I said, not for me, goodbye. I said, a Ford is good enough for me. So I had a brand new Ford for $5 a day. And I had a nice time going around seeing Chinatown and doing all the work that I wanted to do. My movement is for work and pleasure everlasting. I don't seek any pleasure. I have divine pleasure. My pleasure is not conditioned by anything. That's the secret of happiness. As soon as you have to have a car, or you have to have this or that, you lose your happiness. So seek happiness first. Now I was given money that I could have hired the car. Instead, I gave it back to others for something useful. Well, when I came back shortly after, a brand new Cadillac was given to me. Now, what is given to me, I can't throw away. That's the way it happens throughout. I have seen beyond my dreams. God has given me things, always, even if I slightest wished. And that is true. Why? Because I follow the motto. Bread, the men of the world seek after. Money is your motto. And it is strange that you don't get it. You are in position. I show you wherein money will be more and more scarce, that it is only a miasma. And in actuality, you don't seek money. You seek something else which money represents, and you have forgotten that thing. It is happiness that you seek, and happiness includes everything. And if you had your motto as happiness, you would have everything. And Jesus said that bread the men of the world seek after, money, food, and other things people of the world seek after. But seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek ye happiness first. Then divine happiness, which comes by meditation, and all things will be added unto you. And nor be ye of doubtful mind, because that is all true. Everything is eternal life. I started that little mud hut, and people laughed at me. 15 days, I said, there will be a big, palatial school, and there it was. I gave up my job. I was offered $2,000 a month. It was a lot of money in those days in India. I gave up marriage. I gave up a big estate that I would have received as a dowry. And God told me when I asked him, you asked if this is true, you don't trust God. You don't love him. You love everything else. That is why you think I'm a bugaboo sitting somewhere else and won't answer you. But this is the truth. He will answer you every move of your life. You can't be without him. Look at the flowers and the weeds. Everything is that eternal life, waves of eternal life. And you are unaware of him because your desires are concentrated on things, not on the giver. If you are the giver, things are your slave. I have seen this throughout life. So I sought the kingdom of God first, the kingdom of happiness. And God means when you are happy all the time, and happiness is not an abstract state of your mind, but you feel that happiness is building you. Then you have attained the purpose of life. Everything is a slave to you. I must tell a little incident. I went to graduation of my nephew. I had to go all the way to Los Angeles, and I said, Lord, I've got to see him. There were 4,000 students. So I saw one of those men with those square caps on. I knew that he knew him, and a voice said, ask him. So I asked him, and he said he knew him well, but that he is a needle in a haystack now, and he can't find him. So I said, oh, why did that happen? But I knew it was a trick of the Lord's. So somebody was holding me a seat, and I sat there. Everybody stood up. The band came, but I was not there. I was with God. I knew when he would tell me that I would get up. Somebody said, the people are coming. Still I waited. Another person said, just about when they were going to end, people are coming. And I got up. I got the answer. The Lord had told me to get up now, and I went. And there was a huge lady standing in front of me. And I said, Lord, why did you make her huge? I can't see anyone. And there was a little lady and a man in front, and I was trying to go. Somebody said, you can't do it, it's packed. Lord said I shouldn't move, so I stayed there watching this huge, tall thing in front of me with long black hair. And I said, all right, I will stay here. Once I tried to get up on a chair that was wobbly, and the Lord said, you will be down. So I said, all right, I stand here. patiently standing. And just a little while after, the man came bolting out, and the Lord said, now, move on. I didn't look, I just moved. And in 1 minute's time, he was in front of me, and I said, hello, Arun. And he turned back, And I had taken two mangoes, and they had all tried to tell me you shouldn't carry mangoes. And I was right, because
yes.
Now I had the mangoes to give him. So if I'm not interrupted, ... Everything I saw there, everything was over. And then I forgot to tell the people to come early to pick me up. So I sat there in the chair. I was there for 1 hour. And this professor was talking the most uninteresting things with his monotone voice. Lord said, "Now get up." So I went there, and in the corner I was watching, and I said, "Wouldn't you send this party?" So someone told my people who had driven me that it would be over at 4:30, but it wasn't over until 6:30. So they started late, and I came back driving. Everything you will find, guided by that spirit. But the first motto must always be happiness. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you the reason for it. Why you should seek happiness first. You are between two extremes. Between industrialists and the communists. Communists borrowed the idea, greatest good for the greatest number. The idea was given by Benton Mills. But they think of the greatest good by the greatest number with guns. 50,000 communists, and their leaders have control over everything. The rest of them have no control. And if you don't listen to them, they will shoot you down or send you to Siberia. If you want to be communist, I have an answer for you. You should go live there. Right away. Right away, we should raise some funds to send you there. But those that live here, please be loyal to this country that you live in. You are in such a fearful time. All the communists and all the people, they are prodding the laborers to charge more and more to the industrialists. And the downfall is coming soon. Little industries are all wiped away. And I want you to see the picture. It is correct. Everything I am telling you, I have found out from one of the biggest dairies. They have been my students. Simplicity solution. In Encinitas, somebody asked me for money. There wasn't a single job. He said, "I have no job at all. What shall I do?" I gave some help. It's a harrowing situation that you're going through. And yet, as Americans, you have to have nice dress and new styles of dress. Well, I say, make your own dress. The dress you can buy for $7, you can make for $2. Go back to simplicity of living. Money is not the standard of happiness. That's why you are being crushed. Between the communists and the industrialists. Little business is done because nobody can have any help. The husband and the wife have to work to death in order to carry on fair living if they have a little land of their own. So what are you going to do? Where are the jobs? We are going to give you jobs. The Life magazine had pictures of a husband and wife, very happy, and a little baby, and all kinds of new machinery. But they were sitting in a graveyard of new machinery. Both had jobs. Both were working. They had to have a babysitter to look after baby. Then both of them lost jobs, and they owe to all different companies $2,000. Every day they see the sign, no jobs. What is going to happen to such a person? And then the unemployment insurance lasts a few weeks. That was gone. How are they going to eat? How are they going to keep up their dress? How are they going to keep up their employment? How can you speak of their happiness? What is the church doing? Asking for more donations. Building more buildings. But I have a plan that will never fail. a plan that is the only way out if you want happiness. What do you want happiness for? First, remember, happiness gives everything. Happiness gives money. It gives health. Happiness is good. First, keep the state of your mind happy, no matter what happens. You shall see that by so living, you can be happy. You can be in a palace and be the most miserable man. There are many millionaires who are my students. With the exception of a few who have renounced everything and followed this path, I think nothing of them. They are the most miserable people I have seen on earth. Why are you dreaming that money is happiness? I have made money useless, and whether you believe it or not, I have gone without a bank book. Never it was missed. When I was out, somebody gave it to me. It was I who was ministering to all, so God ministers to my needs. Live by the law. The same when I was in Boston, when I had food on the windowsill, a bottle of milk and a little electric stove. And there was a little closet where there was a wash place, and there I bathed. But still, when I wanted to do so, I had always a banquet, because I lived by the law, not by money. God was with me. I want you to follow this law. This law will never fail you. Throughout the war, we have lived most successfully and prosperously and happily because money is not our goal. What is the solution? I have the solution, and it's working. I am very encouraged to see the health and happiness of men, women, and children who live in our two colonies, Mount Washington and Encinitas. Live without worries. How could a Hindu mistrust? When I came here, Father used to send me $200 a month, and I stopped it, mind you. I said I wasn't going to live by the money. It seemed very hard, but I never missed a meal. In fact, I had so many people ask me to eat that I was thinking of reducing. And I had a little house. I was just a servant, but I knew that God would entrust me with a big work. But that didn't mean anything to me, except the people who have been happy through me and through the grace of God. When I see the faces of people, somebody came in the Hollywood church from San Jose and he said to me, "First time I see vegetarians that are alive." Another person from South America, and he said, "I see the disciples of the order. They live like millionaires without worry." That was the greatest compliment given. And without ill health, without disease, plain living and high thinking, your motto must be changed. Happiness is the first thing you want. Next is food. You can't go without food. I want you to see the purpose of life. Next, health. Freedom from disease. And then freedom from the slavery of the desires for what they have in the shops and the machines they want you to buy. They rope you in and keep you a slave. Purpose of life is plain living and high thinking. I am not preaching primitivism. I am preaching freedom. Because you have come to a place where civilization, between the communist and the industrialist, with all in good intentions, places you in a position where you do not know where freedom lies and where your next meal is coming from. There is a new way to freedom. How could a Hindu from afar, stopping the money his father sent, his earthly father, how could he maintain now 100 people? You know the time you have maintaining your little family. God gave this monk a big family, and God maintains them, and I have no bank account of my own. That is true. Some intuitively force money in my pocket. Otherwise, I don't receive. I don't ask from anybody. I have many wealthy disciples, but I told them all, I don't live by your money. They all just about jumped out of their skins. That is true. That is why I am showing you this new way to freedom. And look at those who live at Encinitas and Mount Washington. How happy they are. All are people that live. My secretaries work day and night. They used to get $7 to $8 a month, and now they get $10 to $15 a month. But they live better than those who have $200 jobs. You ask anybody, have you got money? Oh no, I am in debt. Then what is the use of $200 a month and all the time being in debt and buying money and buying more? You think happiness is the will of the wisp running away from you. Be happy now. That is the secret. By laughing off lots of desires, you can be happy. And don't be a beggar. I told you about the opals. I have one of the largest and best collections of opals for the museum. We have a museum in Encinitas and another in India. We knew the Lord would give better and better to me, and He will give plenty more. And when I heard of a large collection for $250, which was a ridiculous price, I went after it. And 2 days before it was sold, I said, well, the Lord didn't want to give, so I gave up my desire and I was happy. But He told me to go after it again, and I found out that it had been given to a friend on consignment. The original owner was so crazy about opals that many people offered him the money, but he wouldn't sell them. But he gave these to his friend without money, and that's why I got it from the other friend for $50. Thousands of dollars of opals. The thing is this, if you follow that law of God, the Lord will not only give to you, but fulfill all your desires, because you are His son. You are not a beggar then. There is a solution in your life. Colonies beyond the city limits. I tell you, we have a place in the desert for the boys. I have two or three places. Everywhere I go, I seem to attract colonies. 15 acres of land with beautiful trees, a windmill, plenty of water to have a swimming pool. There is no utility bill, and we get butane gas and a stucco home. Very beautiful, all around our hills, and the climate is so marvelous. The boys go and have such a wonderful time. Now what do you think is the tax of it? $5.50, and I'm going to keep it that way. They wanted to give me electricity. I refused it. They thought I was foolish because I could afford electricity, and I said no. Put that colony in Los Angeles, 15 acres. They charge you right away $150 in taxes. In Mount Washington, we used to pay $50 in taxes. All right, when 50 people used to live there, they used to pay $1 a month for rent. Now it's $150. Still, they pay $3 a month. And you have your sweet little apartments, very nice, overlooking the tracks, and day and night trolley cars crashing through your bones. The commissioner of police in Chicago said if the noise was taken away from the city, people would live at least 10 years longer. Don't live in cities. Don't seek jobs for money. Jobs should mean work, happiness, and food, and freedom from sickness, and freedom from the slavery from these government plans that are tying your feet and keeping you enslaved. Motto of civilization should not be money, but plain living and high thinking. You are not going back to primitivism. You are going to freedom. Get 25 acres of land beyond the city with a few select ones. Go there and dig. Produce your food. It costs hardly any money to start these colonies. And we have so much offering of land now, we don't know what to do with it. We don't know what to do with it. But we are going to start quite a few colonies. And I want a younger generation there first. And then I'll take those that want to organize. You'll have the finest food. Bread is not the staff of life at all. In fact, it causes a lot of allergies. Garbanzo beans are your answer. One of our boys used to eat meat, and when he came, in the first few weeks, he lost 11 pounds, and I said, "You are not eating right." I bought him a sack of garbanzo beans. Now don't eat a sack of garbanzo beans and go out to the astral world. Try a tablespoon first and soak them in water. And in the morning, eat them raw. Chew well and throw away the rind. He gained 12 pounds right away and didn't have to eat any steaks. You'll get away from the slavery of buying big steaks and getting disease besides. Your blood cannot assimilate the toxins in that meat. It creates disease and keeps you enslaved to doctor bills. Freedom is the goal of life. Now, the houses and big things that have given you, I can't destroy them, that have been given, I can't destroy them. But my next policy is that all the boys and the girls live in the separate colonies. And they will build with small stones, small houses with little baths. And like Lottie Lehman, the big opera star, and her companion, they live outside. I saw that. Outside was very cozy in Santa Barbara. Outside they have a little fireplace. She said, "This is where I write. This is where I sing. This is where I practice, and I get wonderful ideas. I go in at night, and I don't even eat meat." And I said, "How marvelous, living outdoors." And we will have churches encircled with trees under the stars. We don't need buildings that have to be plastered and painted. And then you say, "Nice building, but oh, I wish I didn't have to plaster and paint it." If they want movies, remember, it's only the nicest customs of all nations, and we will have movies there. One car will bring everything, but everything will be self-sustained so that we don't have to pay bills for care. 25 acres for exercise, for stars, to be free of industrialists and slavery, gunplay of communists. This is the way I am showing you. And this shall spread all over the world, and nothing can stop the power God has given me. And you'll see colony after colony. There is one colony being started in Rio de Janeiro in South America. Several are carrying on in India. I have initially helped, but in my plan you will be free from money, which is the greatest slavery, free from the movies. That is why the younger generation I am not sending to the movies. I sometimes go to the movies to be in a trance because I have so many telephone calls. Whenever they see me, they have to talk to me, so I have to play hide and seek. When I go to the movies, there are no calls and nobody can talk to me. That's the only place I have. Somebody asked me, "Are you seeing the movies?" And I said, "I am seeing the movies of the whole world, and I am showing the way to freedom. I see those that have a little money in the colonies are always worrying what will happen about inflation. Those that haven't money at all never complain or ask me. As long as a dollar remains in my pocket, I keep giving. I keep it empty, and I see they refill it. They say, "Oh no, please keep it, please don't give." And they mean it. because I've trained them that way, to see that happiness is the first goal of life, and they are rich with health. God showed me that freedom is the goal of happiness. So cut off your desires. As soon as you have a desire, say, I can do without it, just as I did with the opals. If that man had not sold those things to a friend 2 days before, I would not have gotten them because he didn't want to part with them. So you see, follow my way. Our church wants to give you jobs. Jobs mean happiness, food, health, freedom from sickness, and freedom from slavery of the modern world, and slavery that the communists want to give. Brotherhood Colonies is the coalition. There are jobs for thousands of you, thousands. Bring your children to Sunday school. They will have first preference. I must tell you, I went to school during the graduation and I saw that our boys and girls had the best countenance. But with the other boys and girls, I saw everything and it almost made me sick. And all these boys and girls that were passing by me, I saw that they had nothing to look forward to. They had lived on the drinking plane and sex plane, so that most of them had nothing to look forward to and they didn't know what life was. When life becomes everything you do in your teenage years, there is nothing to look forward to. And the American institution of home life is breaking up. Why? Because three girls chase one boy? He is king, and he gets married, he doesn't want to get married. When he gets married, he wants to run around after somebody else. But freedom lies in simplicity. So be independent of the world. Have a small dwelling of stone that won't need plastering. And one of our places is being given. It hasn't gone through yet, and another one is in the offering. There are mineral springs there, and we will have the water and everything, but we will be free from the slavery of paying bills. And meals cost about 10 cents. And we are growing most of our own vegetables. And milk is not a sustaining thing. Milk causes a lot of mucus. You can get everything and be independent of the world. I want 50 to 100 people in a colony, not more than that, and then we'll move to the next. We'll have hundreds, thousands of them all over the world. That's the kind of church we are going to build. The church Jesus Christ preached. Not under a church. It is not going back to primitivism. It's a balance between East and West. We'll have the finest books there and meditations, cultivation of poetry and music, free from the world. You won't have to go out if you have 25 acres in which to move. Does the modern man have to walk? No. He comes and gobbles his food, sits there instead of exercising, doesn't want to walk because there are too many people on sidewalks, too tired making money. Then he fights with the wife or goes to the movies, comes home, sleeps with a heavy stomach, and wants to eat more. The only pleasure he has left are eating and sex. And sex devitalizes all the strength. He fights with the wife all the time. Self-control, moderation, all these things contribute to happiness. First principle of life is that you can be a master over everything you do. Then you will be happy. I eat what I should, and I don't eat what I shouldn't. I am not compelled to do anything. I can cut off any desire. And remember, as soon as you have a desire and you feel it unnecessary, cut it off. Don't live in a place where you just stir up desires.
I was riding in a Cadillac car on the second day, and I went into a trance, and I said, Lord, why did you do this for me? I heard, because you are not attached, and you have to go from colony to colony. I said, well, in fact, when you go in a rickety Ford, you feel that you want to sleep afterwards, and I sleep so little anyway. But that is not a condition of my happiness. The thing is this, what you need is these colonies if you want to wake up. Our church wants to give you jobs. Jobs mean happiness. The goal of life is plain living and high thinking and freedom. Happiness is the first goal of life. Second is food. Third, health, freedom from disease. And last, freedom from everything you have to pay. And believe me, I am so encouraged when I see these boys and girls, men and women of all ages, happy and never a cross word. Master knocks on wood and the audience laughs. When I see them happy, I say, this is the kind of church I wanted. The industrialist all the time has stress and fights. And if we had in our colonies all the time strikes and fights, I would close it and go to the Himalayas. It is based on brotherhood and love. We don't have gunmen. What I am preaching is far greater. The idea of brotherhood of men and what is only possible when you have God. So do it now. Hitler thought he was great. He was going to conquer the world. He had everything. And where is he now? But Hitler was a Boy Scout compared to Stalin. He is using the name physical force, giant guns. But don't worry. God's with America and India, and never will forsake them because they are based on ideals, not on conquering the world. India is getting far ahead by the spiritual method, but if they initiate the Western way, they will have jobs. Before they do, I am honeycombing India with colonies, and you must come. It doesn't require money. There is lots of land. Somebody brought me the rent-free land, which you can get by lease from the government. Money will be made useless. And when you have money, you want more and you want to keep it, and you don't want to share it with others. Force cannot do it, but brotherhood will. Why do I want to part with every dollar that I get and never buy clothes? Always they are given to me. I never ask for them either. Only thing that I buy is my shoes. My robes are always made. They soak you in this country. I gave one to a tailor and he said, oh, $100. I said, thank you, goodbye. Somebody else make the robes. Make your own clothes and see how little you can get along with. Keep your mind with meditation, happiness and health and exercise and good food. You can do it. When you have a nice apartment, you have to pay nice money. And in order to pay nice money, you have to work to death until you are dead. Why go that way? I am showing you a way that you can do it now. Right now. This solution for happiness is immortal. I have given the word in the ether. I have so many applications offering my land and colonies, you have no idea. I'm not speaking of them. I am organizing two more now. So I want first young people and marriage. Tell them to get married. And how are they going to raise their children? The earth is overpopulated now. Now is to build character first and don't get into trouble. They don't want to marry anyway. I've asked boy after boy. Marriage means responsibility. The first thing you have to show is happiness. The rest God will take care of. Do His will. That's the first thing. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. Nor be ye of doubtful mind. when the Bhagavad Gita said in the beginning, the blind king was sitting there, and the great sage Vyasa came. And there was a man that came, and he gave him the power of television. So, 500 miles away, he was seeing this battle that was being fought between the sons of this blind king and another party. Everybody discounted that. And now you have seen miles away exactly as in your own room. That's what the saint said, that I see visions of saints and what they are doing in the ether. A few days I played with the television, but I was so busy televisioning here at the spiritual eye that I forgot all about television. This television, the spiritual eye, is marvelous because you can see everything going on in the world, in the universe of God. It is not just earth and stars and nobody there. If you could see the gods and goddesses, how they are roaming around, managing this world, you would be astonished. This is a stupendous universe, and God eternal is a master of them all. And he doesn't speak because he is so great, and because he doesn't think anything of himself. He who is little is always telling people he is great, because he has plenty of time. He is not busy being great. Those that are great, they are so busy being great that they never have time to say it. That's how God is. God consciousness and that happiness in God consciousness are identical. When you meditate more, you will be happy, and you will cut out all of your desires. If you have a desire, cut it off. You'll be happy right away. I have done that all my life. God has coaxed me and thrown things in my lap. I say, I can do without these. If you want to starve me, that is all right. I'll meditate on you. God can make you miserable. If thy hand prevent thee, cut it off. If you are a slave to movies and money and buying things by the installment plan, cut it off. Once in my life I borrowed for my own person, in Boston, under the Morris plan, $100. You know what they did to me? They gave me $70, and I was too dumb at that time to understand about financial matters. I said, but it's $100 I am borrowing. And they said, take it or leave it. I had to take it. It was $70. They took $30, and they made me sign that I had $100. I said, this is dishonest. They said, that's business. Well, it may be business, but I didn't understand. And I had 30% interest. And believe me, for 3 years, it lay like a stone on my chest. When I got rid of it, I said, never again. And I never borrow for myself. If I borrow from a bank sometimes for backing things, I always know where the money is coming from. Otherwise, I go without. Don't borrow. That is the best way to understand the value of money. Borrow it and you'll find out. And I once heard an advertisement on the radio. Seaboard Finance Company. All on a budget. Ready cash. No embarrassing questions asked. There's a note, laughter. We give plenty of trouble to each other. If there are 50 people who want to gossip about each other, each will have 49 to tackle. That's the way to teach that. But we won't try that. We want harmonious people. And this is the plan. Don't forget. Each one of you can do what I am doing. The work needs you, and you need the work. And this is the way of freedom I am telling you. Church, nor country, nor anyone has given you. This has come from inspiration. Gandhi gave a part of it to India, but he didn't live long enough to apply his law. And he was too much one-sided. He always used motor cars, yet he always condemned them. The thing is this, I don't condemn. I don't say I am greater than Gandhi, but I have learned by his mistakes, and I have been in the West to take the best of East and West. So, have a mud bath. I don't want you to go in rags. I want you to be clean, and if you have a mud bath, you don't require any soap. Do you know that mud has greater soaping power than soap? If you have a mud bath and then wash and dry, you have a greater feeling of cleanliness than soap does. So have a mud bath. These are the plans. I have worked them out in detail, and I will give you the ideas, and you will be able to have the experience of a lifetime. I will give you the ideas, and you will be able to have the experience of a lifetime. How can you do without money and live better than a millionaire? And any of you who have any ideas, don't write me any visionary ideas. You don't need to beg from anybody. I didn't beg from anybody. I went on by the grace of God. So East, West, North, South, and everywhere, building these colonies. Help free America from the terrible inflations that are coming. And God bless you. And Dr. Lewis will say a word. Thing that really occurs to me reading this again is how little has actually changed from the time that Master gave that talk and being stuck between the communists and the industrialists. And really what that's speaking to is these two different states of consciousness, the one that is out to get everything for itself in the greed of capitalism, and the one who is trying to come up with the institutional solutions on some massive scale of communitarian ideals, but which in truth actually kills the free spirit of every individual. And so, as the ultimate solution to this battle, which we are destined to watch for the rest of our lifetimes and is destined to continue well into the future, until this planet becomes a planet of God realization, he has given us this incredible solution to this basic observation of the human condition, and it is to live together in brotherhood and simplicity and happiness and freedom. The whole source of our life here is expressed in this talk through humor and through sometimes sporadic expression of thoughts. The last two pages, I couldn't help but imagine him jumping around the room in terms of tuning into individuals and spraying thoughts at each person, exactly what they needed. So when we read it, it can sound random. But if you place yourself in that room and you have Master standing in front of you and he's talking in one direction and then suddenly he says a thought right to you, I bet it would get your attention. So for all of us, it is for us to tune in to how this vision that he's given and our affection and our role in this place at this time is our work and it's our job, and how each one of us can grow spiritually with the Master by tuning into what our own role is and being willing to expand into it. It doesn't look the same for each person. And as he pointed out at the beginning, every person has their own role, and everybody wants to be the king. And I witness this all the time in the behavior of humans in this world. Everyone is living life as if only their story matters. And it's only when we really learn how to surrender the whole idea of my own story, that God puts us in a position to help everyone else get out of their version of their stories, so we can be a part of something bigger, more wholesome, that can help the whole world. And this is our task. And this is each one of you in this room, this is your task too, to grow into this fully, into a place of becoming fully happy in yourself. Because I tell you this, when we have this kind of happiness as our bottom line, as our source of being together, as our source of living this way that Master has given us, then it will expand infinitely, maybe on the outside, but especially in the spirit of life, both in us and for all those who come into contact with that spirit. But what is being asked for each one of us is to keep letting go of this idea of ourself, to keep cutting off all those desires which spring up, which make us think of ourselves in terms of our own littleness, and to expand into this great self of brotherhood and sisterhood, of being the children of our Father. And in truth, that's what we can represent for this whole world, just in our own relationship to each other. And do we want to do that? Do we believe in that? Can we come back to that baseline every morning and night after the activity of the day? And can we go to the market with an understanding of what we're going there for and greeting everyone in the highest way, in the highest light that is in each person? And in truth, I'm a witness to this and to each person doing this. And yeah, we can all keep expanding into this and to meditate on this and to really own this for ourselves. The conversation that I was having with Ruby while she was here was, there was a lot of questions being asked about how we were serving people here. And the reality of when you are in a more formal church environment, like Master was talking about, putting everyone under a church. And when we're in that environment, you tend to think of your service as something that is only rendered by offering a formal program or a class that can tell people everything. And yet what he's talking about in this talk is our own life. Your life, I tell you, is the church itself. And as we talked about this, she realized what a high bar that is. And she was able to say that. That's like it's the highest bar there is. Because it's no longer about trying to convert someone to some kind of affiliation. It's about each one of us living in our own heart and mind, in our consciousness, living in the Christ. And so that every interaction we have, all the thoughts that we think, the activities that we participate in, everything is coming from that Christ center. You can't do that through tension. You do that through relaxation and love and happiness, like Master said. But in a lot of ways, until we're really, truly ready to step into that, we create these forms and these churches in order to affirm that we can do that. But I tell you this, once you start to step into the Christ consciousness, the need for those forms falls away as fast as the need for money, like Master was saying. We don't feel that the way to reach someone is by preaching at them or getting them to sign up on the spreadsheet or marketing ourselves and trying to convince people of our goodness. It's not about us. It's about trusting that this life, your life, my life, our life, is what God has given us as the living church, and that if we follow each step with the kind of knowing that this is our classroom, this is how we serve this world, this is how we teach, this very life that we live, that we breathe, that we share and express, this is the class, this is the Sunday service, This is how we change the world. It's Jesus with his 12 disciples, rejected by the world, and yet all of them determined to do their inner work to become the living church of Christ so that they could go on to change the future of humanity. Who could imagine the impact that they would have? Just the 12 of them. None of them, especially not Thomas, who sat there and doubted it every step of the way, and yet his soul kept him on the field. So for all of us, we need to understand there's this Thomas in us that wants to doubt still, that wants to hold on and question the faith that I'm speaking of right now. That's okay. That means you need to go deeper. You need to get more serious in talking to God about your life and fulfillment of God's purpose for this life. And each one of us has a responsibility to do that. And yet at a certain point, when you know the truth, I tell you this, don't doubt it anymore. Let it go. Move it along. It's not about you anymore. It's not about doubting anymore. It's about being exactly where God has you and realizing the perfection of the perfected one that lives in you and letting this be the source of your own life. This is how we teach people. This is how we change the world. It's not complicated at all. But if we relate to the world from the outside in and we try to figure it all out first, that's just the ego again. That's just the intellect rationalizing again. That's just us trying to create something on the outside. The important and most essential thing is that everything we do here, everything we create, every form that we take on, be actually moved from the spirit of our wholeness together, so that we know that each step we take is centered in God our Father. We don't have to doubt it. We follow every thread. And I tell you this, there is no greater joy than living in communion together in that way. It is the expansion of our inner communion to be able to walk that experience of God together, to test every spirit in God together. And in fact, we learn to refine our own relationship with God, the self-honesty of that relationship, our own willingness in that relationship, our own surrender in that relationship with God. We learn to test that and to become that perfectly when we walk alongside the Master and when we walk alongside our brothers and sisters in real life, not as an idea alone, not as something we say, oh, I can just figure that out in meditation and never actually do it. But they go hand in hand. The life that we live goes hand in hand with our inner path and our inner unfoldment. I had a very interesting and wonderful experience yesterday on my way home from dropping Ruby off. As I was coming back onto the island, I had honestly just been looking forward to getting back to the farm. It's not my favorite personal thing to do, to be in Seattle, although for yesterday's occasion, I was happy to do it, and Ruby and I had a great satsang on the way down to King Street Station. And then on the way back, I just found myself getting ready to just be back. You know, I have another hour and a half, maybe 2 hours in the car, so I found myself just thinking about getting back to the ashram. But then the strangest thing happened. As I was thinking about that, I'm always going back to God and going back into my forehead. And as I did that, when I drove on the island, a sign caught my eye that I've seen probably 100 times but never given any interest in. The sign was, it's spelled B-A-H-A, Baha, apostrophe IS, and then it says of Kameno Island, and that's the entire sign. Now, I know that I've seen this sign, but I have never spoken with anybody about the sign. I've never thought about it. And so, as safely as I could, driving up the big hill after the bridge there towards the island, I just Googled that word, Baja, apostrophe IS, Kameno Island, I'm thinking, is IS for island? Baja, what on earth are we talking about here? And then it pulled up the Baha'i faith and a center on Kameno Island. Well, I'm taking my time. I'm mostly in my forehead just talking with God about this. And so I only clicked twice by the time I had passed Terry's Corner. And I clicked, one was to click onto the website of the Baha'i of Kameno Island. And the next was to click on the picture of the building and the location on Kameno Island. So that's two clicks. So I was being as safe as I could using the internet while driving. And I was approaching Cross Island. And as I am approaching Cross Island, I look and the first sentence on the first, on that page that I'm on says, turn right on Cross Island. Well, to make matters more ridiculous, when I was driving past Cross Island with Ruby, she goes, Cross Island. Is that because of there's a cross on that road? And I said, no, it's because it goes across the island. And she said, oh, that makes sense. And then we just kept going. Well, here we go. I'm coming back and I'm approaching Cross Island and my jaw about hit the floor. Why does it say turn right on Cross Island right as I'm approaching Cross Island, right after Ruby says Cross Island to me? Naturally, I'm in my forehead and I'm feeling a lot of bliss. And so I don't rationalize a thing, I just turn right. Well, the next step says, go 1.3 miles up Cross Island Road and turn right onto Island Crest. So I do this, and I turn down Island Crest, and I'm following these directions in bliss. I'm in my forehead. I feel God's joy. He's guiding me. I don't know what I'm doing. The Zach part of me is thinking, what are you doing? The other part of me is like, it doesn't matter. There's a plan. Well, I follow the next direction, turn right onto Halls Hardy or something. And I drop down in this like forested ravine. I'm very familiar with the road at this point. And I come to the next junction. And I come to the next junction and it says, turn right onto this Halls Hardy Road. And then you get to a place called Spirit Ridge. Well, I hit this junction. It's at that moment that God speaks to me clearly and says, I don't want you going to the Baha'i Center, go to the Kohlers. And I think, well, son of a gun. Tricked me. I'm like, well, I'm still in my forehead and I'm feeling good, but that is not what I signed up for, Lord. So I am just in my forehead thinking, I'm not sure what is going on, but I'm going to go to the Kohlers now. So instead of turning right to go to the Baha'i Center, I stay left and I drive back down the dirt road. And then I realize, okay, well, I do have a practical function here. I had a blank check and I was going to give the account and routing information to Larry so that he could upload Mother's new book onto Amazon. And I wanted to do this because I want that book to be on Amazon. And I hadn't had a chance to give it to them. I haven't seen them and I didn't want to send it on email. I wanted to just give it to them in person. Kate said she might come to the market yesterday or Friday. She didn't come. I think, okay, God, maybe that's what this is about. And I pull into the driveway. I'm still in my forehead and I pull up to the house and I notice on the clock it says 12 o'clock exactly. I parked the car, I opened the door. Kate opens the door and she says, you came! And I thought, oh God, what did I come to? And she says, we're starting lunch right now. Jill's car's in the driveway. And so I walk right up at lunchtime and have a 1 hour lunch with the gang. And then it turns out they're doing a solstice meditation. And they all just imagined I had come for the meditation, which I guess I did, unbeknownst to me. And they all kept saying, you came for the meditation. I kept saying, yes, something like that. In fact, I kept trying to say, like, actually, I had no idea how I got here today or why. But it was like nobody could hear me, so it didn't matter that part. At any rate, I did my diligence, and we had a nice lunch together, and I handed over the check, and they said, you're going to save for meditation, right? And I said, well, Lord, do you want me to stay for meditation? And so I stayed for an hour, and at that point we had transitioned to silence, and after an hour I silently transitioned and came back to the ashram, got back in my forehead, drove home. And in all of this, there was not some magical thing that was accomplished that I'm aware of. I don't really know. This is all God's dream. I do know that he took me up there and on the promise of going to Spirit Ridge. And then as I approached this place on Spirit Ridge, he pulled the rug out from under me and told me he didn't want me to go there at all. And so for all of that, I thought of Master when we were reading this story just now, and his relationship with God when he was at the graduation, and his constant checking in. And I think there's something really important for us to all at least understand in principle, that if we're not already at the stage of living in our forehead and doing this, which is something we're all growing into in truth, that we at least need to understand that this is the direction. This is the living church of Christ, is that we live in this way completely. And the mind struggles with this. The mind wants to have it all figured out. And the ego certainly doesn't want any part of it. It wants to be in control. And so for each one of you, there's a lot of work we have to do in terms of surrendering this idea of ourself so that we can stop doubting and put our full trust in God's plan. Doesn't mean we don't use the mind and that we're not practical. Think of myself as very practical. And yet, I think that there's a higher way. And the highest way is that of being guided directly by the Father and allowing him to choose where we turn and whom we visit. And in all of that, I tell you, I felt great love and great joy. And I was glad to be there because it's where God put me. And what else are we looking for if not to be where God has put us? And so for each of you, I think to go forth in this way and to cultivate this, this is my wish, this is my hope for all of us. This is what we're really doing, in fact. And so I give you my blessings in that journey. Live in your forehead. Keep your heart open and know that inside of everything, God is always the solution. And our ticket to God, our keys to that kingdom, are in fact our own happiness. We become happy by choosing to be happy. And so for each of us, let us internalize this now and know that this is our truth, that when we know this kind of happiness, because we've chosen happiness in God, that he can flow through us so much smoother. He can drive the car home or not home. He can take us wherever it is we need to be, because our commitment and our happiness is already intact. We are here for his purposes. We are already happy, and we can therefore be his perfect servants as we live out this life in perfect joy with him. So God bless you all on this beautiful day. It's a wonderful convergence. I was thinking of it this morning, of the convergence of the constellations and when the stars align and when Father's Day aligns with the solstice, we have a truly special convergence. So this is a holy day. There can be no question that we have the opportunity to celebrate fatherhood and all of its glory and all of its power and how it manifests in our lives and through people and especially through God our Father. And we also have this solstice occasion where we have been working very strongly in one direction, and the direction is about to turn, and it is a pivot, and it's like we've been inhaling our way all the way up to this longest day of the year, and we're at the pause between, and we're about to start to exhale. And so in that pause, there is the Spirit of God. And so for each one of us, we can tune into that and feel that today, this kind of place of retention, this place of stillness in between the inhalation and the exhalation of life. And so whether we're in the active state with people, or whether we're in our car and we're driving, whether we're stepped aside and in the meditative state, we can feel the power of this moment and this day, and we can bring that into our experience today. I'd like to ask Bhima to play a song for us.
My one true love, my